Hello and welcome to UA 2024, the Pless Podcast, Episode 5. I'm Ian Plested and welcome along to another episode of the Pless Podcast. It's been a fascinating 3-4 days of knockout football, the last 16. Don't forget all the previous podcasts are available on djpless.com/Euro-2024, along with downloadable printouts with the daily diary and with the tournament bracket, which includes the second round, quarterfinals, semi-finals, final and winner that you can fill out for yourself. Me and Andy Masters will be talking everything to do with England, everything to the second round, people who have been knocked out and people who are going through, and the quarterfinal preview. Also, own goals, he's been busy again, so I appreciate Andy's time and I caught up with him on Tuesday evening after the end of the knockout matches. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. I'm here with Andy Masters and we're here to talk about everything Euro 2024. Firstly, I'll bring up the dramatic nature and the dramatic match that England was against Slovakia. What a game in such negativity and then such positivity in the end. What did you think, Andy?
Yeah, I have to agree. It was a pretty poor performance for most of the match. We made very few chances and Slovakia were pretty impressive, or maybe we made them look impressive, but they took their goal well and they played positively and they had a plan and they executed it very well. And England just seemed to run out of ideas, as they have done in pretty much every match we've seen them play in this tournament. And I really didn't expect them to get through. I didn't expect them to equalise, let alone win the match. And obviously it took some inspired substitutions. Ivan Toney coming on and a truly amazing goal from Jude Bellingham to equalise the match. And then from that point on, you felt that England probably were going to win. And they managed to capitalise on that and score a few moments later in extra time. However, I've sat back after that and invited more pressure, and it was not a great performance, but hopefully it will give us confidence going into the next match against Switzerland.
As you say, I mean, it got to 93 minutes and I went, well, this is it, isn't it? We're going to lose. And I was really quite upset about it, because I've been saying I feel that this would have been worse than Iceland, because against Iceland we had a good team, but not a team as good as what we've got now. Some of the talent, I mean, it really would be underachieving if we'd lost, because the talented players that we have shouldn't be losing to Slovakia. And I was like, this is going to be awful, because the legacy of Southgate, okay, it's not doing so well at the moment, but the legacy for 2018, 2021, I mean, he deserves something which isn't an embarrassment, a national embarrassment, I felt that would have been, to lose to Slovakia, a team that, yes, they played well and they did deserve their lead, but England should be playing better than that. And took a piece of magic from Jude Bellingham and then a goal straight at the beginning of extra time. We just kind of knocked all the effort out of them, and yeah, we allowed a lot of pressure, but we did defend quite well in the end, thankfully. But I don't understand. I feel that he's waiting for this magic to happen, when with only 1 minute to go, that is cutting it fine.
It's just lucky that we weren't playing 4 years ago when they only used to play 3 or possibly 4 minutes of stoppage time. He's very lucky, really. And you can't rely on that. We just were lucky that there was a lapse in concentration from Slovakia. And Jude Bellingham is such a talented player and was able to convert that opportunity with his back to goal with such a technically amazing move that very few players can actually execute successfully. So absolutely, Southgate shouldn't be relying on magic. You might say that those substitutions were inspired and turned the game on its head. Why weren't they made earlier? It's a little bit puzzling, and I agree, it would have been a disaster and a national embarrassment if England had been knocked out. We'd obviously got through the group stage, albeit very, very unconvincingly, but to be knocked out of the round of 16 by a country at the level of Slovakia would not have been a very pleasant experience. And I agree, it would have reflected badly on Gareth Southgate's time with England. It would also have been a tremendous waste of the talent in the England squad, when most managers should be getting a tune out of the sort of players that Southgate has at his disposal.
It's very interesting that, I mean, we'll come on to it because we'll preview the quarterfinals, but I don't know how anyone, even Gareth, even maybe the stuff in his ways, can start the same 11. Well, he can't because Goué is banned, but Cons is probably going to come in. But anyone can start that same 11 with Konsa to start against Switzerland. It makes no sense.
It's very strange. It goes back to the comment I made, I think, in our first podcast when I talked about there being so much debt, so many players that should be hammering on the door. You know, if it doesn't work with a particular lineup, he should be mixing it up, putting in other players that want to prove themselves. I agree. To put the same lineup out that had performed so poorly against Slovenia was not a very inspiring move. And so it proved for most of the match.
You mean Cole Palmer came on and looked like our best player, and he's coming on with 20 minutes to go. I mean, I can't believe he's not going to start him on Saturday. I just can't believe that, because he creates far more than what has been attempted to be created in the last four games.
You'd hope he'd draw some wisdom from the lineup that finished that match, definitely. So the England match against Slovakia very much reminded me of England's match against Belgium in the 1990 World Cup. We were not making very good chances. Belgium played really well. They hit the post, they hit the bar, and then we brought on David Platt in injury time, actually in extra time, and he scored that incredible goal in the final few minutes. And I'd actually begin getting quite excited that England were about to go to their first ever penalty shootout, misguidedly, because I'm sure we'd have lost. Platt scoring that goal turned the match on its head, and it probably turned the tournament on its head. But also, David Platt started the next match against Cameroon and scored the first goal, and suddenly we were away. And that was a tough match, but we got through that as well, and we got through to the semi-final. So you'd hope Southgate would draw on that not particularly difficult conclusion that there were very good players that were playing very well in that match, and they need to start the next match.
It should be very interesting, because some of the players, I think they've got the potential, but the players who, in my opinion, you probably haven't done as well as expected, probably like Saka and Foden, that if we play some of the other players and it doesn't work, then they can come on and then prove that they should be starting, and the passion to be able to do that. That's what you do in tournament football. You chip and change it, because you don't keep a constant side all the time, because you're just going to get found out.
That would be a sensible approach. I'm sure they need a bit of time away from playing to concentrate on rebuilding their confidence. Certainly Foden has looked pretty crestfallen. He's not looked like the sort of player he is at Manchester City, and it would be good to see him firing on all cylinders. And yes, he could totally be an impact player from the bench that could really turn a match on its head. Saka, as I understand it, has been played out of position, and he's been played at left back, I think. Is that correct?
So he was playing right attacking midfield, and then Cole Palmer came on to replace him. They took Trippier off and they put Saka on left back, where he used to play at Arsenal when he was coming through. It seemed to work a lot better when Cole Palmer came on, and Saka didn't look out of place being on left back, because Trippier is more natural on the right. I mean, even saying those things, you realise that, I think we said this before, it's the Gerard Lampard thing and trying to fit in all the mega players to make it work, but it's not going to work. It's better to have a balanced side with players who are obviously talented anyway, because they're good enough to be in the England squad. So they're obviously good enough. You don't have to play the best of the best of the best. You pick a side that's, you know, is even, and everyone in their right position.
Got to have a balance, hasn't it? I mean, it's like Alex Ferguson's side. You know, Alex Ferguson didn't necessarily sign all the best players in the world. He picked players that could fit into his system, that would be good team players, some of whom he could bring on from the bench, like Solskjaer, and it worked. And he knew how to play the best players when he needed to play them. And I agree. I think Southgate has an embarrassment of riches, and it can actually cause more headaches than it solves, having those sort of players at your disposal. And each player needs to play their part, but that doesn't necessarily mean you need to have the best players on paper in your starting 11 every single time.
He doesn't seem to also realise that everyone else does substitutions after 60 minutes, then 75 minutes. He seemed so reluctant to do a substitution on Sunday, and it was really odd.
If it's not working, then you've got to have a plan B, haven't you? And substitutions are often part of your plan B. You can start playing around with the formation potentially, but usually you bring on subs to try and mix it up. Fresh legs, players with different skill sets that can pose different challenges to the players on the pitch. So absolutely, it does make sense. 60 minutes is a very standard time to put on some of your subs. Absolutely. You've got five subs these days. You do have lots of options, and it is worth using those five subs if you need to.
It's very strange. There's been other games, obviously, in the second round with knockout football. I mean, Italy, who we spoke about in previous podcasts, being very disappointing. even more disappointing in the game they lost to Switzerland. Switzerland looked very good and looked like they're going to be a danger to England, but Italy was so disappointing considering they were defending champions and they just didn't seem to have any form of spark at all.
Yeah, they were very disappointing. It just didn't, nothing came right for them on the night. They've got some very talented players, but very little penetration. But by contrast, Switzerland have just been a revelation. They're a great attacking side. They're well organized. They're positive. Like so many of these smaller sides, they're positive. They play without fear and they score goals. They've got players that can score goals. And I agree, they will be a big, big threat to England, who, to be honest, have not been playing any better than Italy have in this tournament so far. And Switzerland will have their measure. And if they score an early goal, I wouldn't be so confident that England could pull it back this time.
No, I totally agree. I think if Switzerland do get an early goal, especially in the first half, I think it'll be very similar to the Italy game, that they'll just end up winning 2-0 and we'll be chasing the game, but they'd be able to manage to get to the end of the game and win out. I mean, some of the other teams, France-Belgium yesterday, I've been hyping that up to be an absolute cracker, and it was an appalling match. It was one of the worst matches I've ever seen, and an own goal to win it for France, but it was appalling. It was so boring and such lack of football or imagination, and Mbappe's struggling, and the rest of the French team seem to have, I mean, it's very similar to England. I mean, England 18 months ago in the World Cup scored a lot of goals. In the France game, it was a cracking game. We were unlucky to lose. France in that game, very attacking, got to the final, scoring lots of goals, but they look exactly the same as England, devoid of ideas and not scoring any goals from open play.
Yeah, I agree. Very, very disappointing. And on a personal level, I was disappointed that Belgium weren't able to progress as well, because I feel that they're a very, very good side and it's a shame. I always like smaller countries like Belgium to do well. So it would have been nice to have seen them do a little bit better in this tournament with the crop of players that they've got. So very disappointing. And as you say, a very dull match, and disappointing that Mr. Own Goal has another goal.
He's up to 9. There were opportunities today for a 10th own goal. On a serious note, it's because defenders are last ditch lunges or last ditch tackles that are going into their own goals. There's more defence trying to block out the goals, that shots are getting deflected or just, you know, accidental kicks and stuff are happening. And it's just the amount of people in the box that I think are causing all these own goals.
Yeah, maybe. It's a very strange phenomenon, isn't it? It may be setting a record this tournament for the number of own goals. I'm not sure what that's like, but there must be some explanation for it. And maybe it is that maybe it's goalkeepers playing in a more advanced role. Goalkeepers are often out of their box these days, playing as almost the last defender. Goalkeepers have to almost be an outfield player these days. So maybe there's something to do with that as well. There have been some quite impressive long-range efforts as well that we've seen, particularly from the smaller teams like Georgia, which have almost gone in, which I guess underlines that point as well, that goalkeepers are often quite a long way up the pitch.
Yeah, Georgia-Spain was a really good game for so many levels for me. Georgia having no fear against a team which Spain really do look like champions in waiting. They just look outstanding. I don't know how they've got it going again, but they're better than they were even when they were winning tournaments 10, 12 years ago. They've just got an outstanding team. No mega, mega superstars. It's just a perfect team. But Georgia asked them questions, and I liked that Georgia played no fear against one of the best teams probably in the world at the moment. And they scored. They scored the opening goal. And it's football like that, which you saw again tonight. We'll get onto that. But it's football like that you want to see, instead of this closed, cagey passing and seeing if you can pass through players. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it was a wonderful match. And as you say, I was so thrilled when Georgia got the opening goal and continued to play positively. They didn't just shut up shop. They were going forward. They were trying to score more goals. It really was amazing performance. They can hold their head up very high because they have performed exceptionally well at this tournament, and they had the misfortune to run into a Spain side which, as you say, will be odds on to win, I suspect, given the quality at their disposal, but also given that the players on the pitch are actually performing up to expectations, and some amazing young players that have come to the fore as well. Absolutely, it's been fabulous watching Georgia. They're a very, very exciting team. There's no big superstars there. They just play football the way it should be played, and it would have been amazing interesting if they could have beaten Spain, scored another goal maybe, could have made it more difficult. Then again, Spain just had that self-belief. They didn't panic. They just kept hammering away. They were making chances, and eventually some of those chances started getting put away. And in the end, it was a comfortable victory for them. But all respect, all praise to Georgia for their performance.
Totally agree. I don't know if you saw any of Ronaldo and the Slovenia game yesterday. Even Ronaldo in tears after his penalty was amazingly saved by Oblak. Such a bizarre match. And finished off with Slovenia missing all their penalties, having them all saved by the Portuguese keeper, and Ronaldo coming back to score a penalty and then winning 3-0 on penalties. It was a very strange match. You feel that Portugal, if Ronaldo wasn't playing, they'll probably win earlier. But Ronaldo's taking everything to get this goal. It's like he's the show. It's really weird.
He's no spring chicken these days. He's still a quality player, but absolutely, he may not be at another international tournament after this one, and Portugal should be looking to the future. However incredible Ronaldo has been, he ranks as one of the greatest players ever, obviously. But yes, you can hang around for too long. You know, maybe he needs to think about hanging up his boots, at least on an international basis, and making way for some younger players to come through. All respect to Slovenia, though, for the performance, for holding Portugal at bay, and for taking it to penalties. It was a shame they couldn't have put some of those away, but another good performance from another of the smaller teams in the tournament. And Portugal lost to Georgia as well in their final group game. So it's two not brilliant performances, which they will hope to shake off in the next round.
And tonight, well, we had Netherlands beating Romania first. Netherlands looked quite good. Romania, they were unfortunate that it just seemed like they really weren't at the races today. But the game tonight between Austria and Turkey was probably one of the games of the tournament. Turkey going 2-0 up and then Austria getting back to 2-1. And then the Turkey goalkeeper pulling off one of the world-class saves in the last minute of the game. And again, what you've been saying is these countries really putting in a massive, massive effort. I kind of felt tonight why Turkey won was that they wanted it more. And when you want it more, it doesn't matter if the other team may be more skillful or better, that if you've got the passion and you're playing for your country, like properly playing for Turkey like it was, that they won. They had the edge because it meant more to them.
Absolutely. But Austria are a good side. They've had a reasonable tournament. But I agree, Turkey are playing without fear. I still remember that match against Georgia, the opening group game. What an incredible match that was. What wonderful attacking football from both sides and some real quality goals from Turkey. And you could say the same again tonight. They've got some quality in the side. But as you say, it's also about the desire to win. And I think it's also playing without fear. The pressure isn't on them. They have some very passionate fans. They have a whole country behind them, but the expectations are that they won't win the tournament. The pressure's off, and who knows, they may go all the way.
Got the quarterfinals coming up this weekend. We've got a couple of rest days. I think we all need to calm down a little bit, especially after the England game and the game tonight. I mean, it was a cracking game, but just a couple of days to calm down. We come back on Friday with two absolute crackers, with the hosts playing against, in my opinion, the favourite Spain. So one of them's going to lose, and then it's followed by Portugal, Ronaldo versus Mbappe in France. And I mean, two absolute crackers to start the weekend. We'll know so much more about where the trophy's going, I think, even after Friday.
Absolutely. As you say, there's one half of the draw where all the big teams have been concentrated. So there's some massive games on, and it will be very, very entertaining to see who comes out on top. See if France can redeem themselves after their very poor performance against Belgium, and indeed Portugal. Can they redeem themselves after a poor performance? Is it going to be another turgid match? Who knows?
You just really hope not. I think that's the thing, though, that if it is a turgid match between Portugal and France, it's just going to be very interesting of really who wins it in the end and how they're going to win it. Germany, Spain, I think there'll be a score in 90 minutes for that. But then on Saturday, the first game of the day is England, Switzerland. And we spoke about it already. A massive chance for us to get to the semi-final, but a very good team we're going to have to play against.
Absolutely. There is talk about Switzerland being the favourite. it's based on current performance levels. And it's hard to argue with that at the moment. But England do have quality throughout their squad. And Gareth Southgate needs to make the most of that. And he needs to learn from the players he's seen playing, of those substitutes that came on in the match at the weekend. And I agree, he probably needs to be starting with the lineup that finished the match against Slovakia rather than the lineup that started it. Bringing on players like Ivan Toney and trying to see how good England can be with a slightly different lineup. Hopefully, we'll be able to score early and not sit behind the ball, not defend, but actually push up and attack and score more goals. It's the only way we're going to progress. We can't be cautious. We have to take more risks. We have the players to do it. So Southgate probably needs to be a little bolder in his tactic and trust to the players, really.
Be interested to see what happens. I'm sure it'll be another interesting late afternoon on Saturday, and hopefully one that's far less stressful than the one that was on Sunday against Slovakia. Fingers crossed. And the final one is Netherlands-Turkey, and we've just been talking about that. It'll be quite interesting to see what happens between those two, and Turkey will be certainly up for that game, you feel. I just want to say thank you again, Andy. Thanks very much for your input.
No problem, Ian. It's a pleasure.
All the previous podcasts are available on the website and through my social media. I would like to thank Andy for joining me on the podcast, and we're looking forward to the quarterfinals coming up at the weekend. I've been Ian Plested, and we'll see you soon.